Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At 6 at the 27-yard line now. Key down here. Montgomery to the left of Trubisky takes the snap. Mitch looking to throw. Mitch with time. Mitch going to roll to his right. Mitch going to toss it now to David Montgomery down the sideline. He's inside the 10. Works to the middle of the field left. He's in for the touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Third and 6. 27 yards. Catch and run. David Montgomery on the bailout throw by Mitchell Trubisky. Ad-libbing it. Bears in front. 6-0. Snap to Daniel Jones. Tight pocket.
Oh, ball.
Hit from behind. Ball comes out. Let's see who has it. It's at around the 20-yard line, and the Bears take it away.
I think it was Robert Quinn that knocked the ball away. First field goal attempt in the stadium by Cairo Santos.
This will be a 34-yard try. It's on the right hash. Snap. Placement. Kick is up. Cairo Santos is good. 10-0. They get three off the takeaway. They lead the New York Giants with 4:36 to play. Snap Jones out of the shotgun. Here's Barkley hesitation move and track down, but slips the tackle, steps out of it and gets across the 45-yard line near the 46. And an inch. Looked like maybe Saquon got injured on that play. They're immediately giving him attention on the Bears sideline. Bears players asking for medical staff and the Giants to get there in a hurry. Saquon Barkley on a run to the right.
Right, run to the right, a holding. Call.
Excuse me. Illegal use of hands. Hands to the face. Defense number 96. 5-yard penalty from the end of the run. First down.
Yeah, Barkley's in considerable pain on the sidelines as they tend to him. Snap Daniel Jones on third down. Winds up, throws, and it's intercepted. Stepping in front of it is Deion Bush. Is that Deion Bush out there on this play? Deion Bush with the takeaway and the interception by the Bears. Turning him away on third down. Number 26, who had a great training camp, did not win the starting job, but he's in there in this particular defense that they'll use some different safeties, and he gets his first career interception. Plenty of time of the play clock. Hard count. They rush three, drop eight. Mitch in the pocket now, darting around, thinking about what to do. Resettles, now flips it into the end zone. Left side, up in the air, making the catch. Touchdown, Bears, Darnell Mooney. What a catch by Mooney, slipping the coverage. And gets the Bears six more. 16-0 Bears. Trubisky with the patience to make it happen. Mooney doing what receivers do, keeping himself alive and making the catch on the New York Giants secondary.
Touchdown, Bears!
Mitch in the shotgun with Montgomery to his right. Play fake, pulling back. Pass thrown by Trubisky. Batted up in the air, intercepted. Julian Love, the local product on the right side to the 25-yard line, and he's tackled at the 25. And a tip pass, not unlike last week when Kyle Fuller picked one off at Detroit. And the Giants get the interception. Daniel Jones under center, I formation again. Elijah Penny ahead of Deion Lewis. He takes turns, giving Deion Lewis, hunting for the end zone. Deion Lewis punctures the goal line. He's in. 17-9. Bears have the lead here on the fourth with less than a minute gone by. It is third down and four from the Bear 44-yard line. 17-10 Bears. Snap is back. Trubisky going to lead a receiver down the right side. Fade pass is intercepted or caught. One of the two. The Giants think it's theirs. And that's exactly what's going to happen. An interception. Allen Robinson was up for it. Didn't win that 50-50 ball. The Giants did. And they are celebrating on the far side of the field. Third down and eight. Money down. Slot to the right. Snap. Daniel Jones. Here comes the pressure. Throwing over the middle. Knocked up in the air. And it's intercepted. Coming left. Eddie Jackson to the 40. Eddie Jackson to the 30. Jackson to the 20. Cuts middle of the field to the 10. Trying to outrun the Giants. He's into the end zone. There is a flag. But he does score, and it looks like it's coming back.
You know, this official that made this call, Jeff, if you look at the timing of the flag in relation to what he believes he saw, he threw it just out of reaction.
37-yard field goal try on the left hash for Graham Gano. His kick is up to the south end zone. Uprights, he splits him, and it's good. 17-13, Bears have the lead. A big stop defensively by the Bears after the interception return was wiped out by interference of 52 yards by Eddie Jackson. Now the offense has to get to work. Third down and two. They've been good on third down all day today from the 36. Back to the right. Blitz is on. Martinez coming. Picked up pass. He's tipped at the line of scrimmage. Incomplete. Falls harmlessly to the ground on fourth and two. What will Matt Nagy draw up here? Allen Robinson in the lineup. Demetrius Harris at tight end. Jimmy Graham in at tight end along with Cole Kmet. Three tights, receiver and one back, and Trubisky under center. Harris in motion, right side. Snap back, play fake, roll. Slot roll, throwing over the middle. And it's caught by Bobby Massey on the ricochet for a first down to the 33-yard line. Thought it was going to be a pass breakup, and Big 70 put his mitts on it and caught it. For a first down for the Bears on fourth and two. Slayton left. Lewis left slot. Right side, Ingram along with Golden Tate. Third receiver out to the numbers. Cushion given. Snap back, Daniel Jones. Pressure Mack. Pressure throws. Incomplete and a throw over the middle. And a late flag is thrown. Golden Tate was begging for it.
Offensive pass interference.
And it looks like it's on the Giants. At least the discussion is headed in that direction. There's no time on the clock.
The official
pass was broken up on third down and six. Offensive pass interference.
Our game is over.
Fade to black. Right down to the bone on this one. A pass incomplete, offensive interference, and the Bears survive here at home in their regular season opener at Soldier Field. The final, Bears 17, Giants 13.
And now it's time for the Chicago Bears post-game show with SCORE senior football expert Hub Arkish and former Bears long-snapping Iron Man Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The SCORE, presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears, and MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Well, welcome in, everybody. It is great to have you alongside on our Prop Swap Bears post-game show here at 670 The Score. Again, our new title sponsor, Prop Swap, great to have them with us this season. We will get into some more details about our new title sponsor as the show goes on. But thank you to Prop Swap for making this all possible. We're also being presented by PNC Bank, official bank of the Chicago Bears, and MailMed Chicago. com. I'm Hub Arkish. Patrick Manley is alongside. Guys, the fun of the post game is your phone call, 312-644-6767. Call us at that number. You can also text us at that same number, 312-644-6767. We're having a minor technical issue right now. If I sound a bit off, but it should be fine. We're going to get this fixed as the show goes on. Patrick, I'm not even sure where to start with this one. There is so much. This is a classic example of I got to see the tape because, you know, so many different things that we saw out there. But there's a couple things I will say with some certainty. The first interception is on Mitch, even though it's a deflected ball. It was a bad choice. It was the wrong throw and bad luck, but you can't put the ball there. The second interception, that's a contested ball that Allen Robinson should have had. I just don't know how you hang that one on Mitch. The other couple things I will say with some certainty, the roughing on Roquan Smith that sets up the touchdown to make it 17-10 is a tough call. Yes, he missed him, but you can't go at a quarterback like that. You know, Jones slid late, Smith missed him. They could have, you know, picked up that flag, but you got to be careful when you do that. The pick six on Eddie Jackson, that's the right call. Yes, he is entitled to the football. He is entitled to make a play on the ball, but he cannot go through the receiver. The receiver had inside position, and as painful as it was and as much as it turned the game, that one is on Eddie Jackson. And then lastly, Pat, this is the one that kind of ticks me off the most. Matt Nagy made the exact same mistake with 3.5 minutes left or whatever it was that Matt Patricia made last week. You're not kicking that 50-yard field goal and giving them the ball at the 39-yard line. You've got no reason to hope that Cairo Santos is going to hit. Well, you got reason to hope, but I mean, you can't try that kick. I'm sorry. I think, you know, worst case, you call your best play. If you don't get it on 4th and 8, you move the ball a little further down the field. You take more time off the clock. You save at least 10 yards. I don't see that at all. And I'm sorry to filibuster here, but we're going to hear a lot about filibusters in the next couple of months, so that was mine.
Well, here, I'll start with, I wrote them down, the picks by Mitch. I agree with you a little bit about the pass to Allen Robinson, but when they cut to him on the bench and he kind of had his hands on his head and shaking his head, I was wondering, was he mad at Mitch for making the throw or mad at himself for not coming back hard enough to the ball? So, again, that goes right into what you're talking about, looking at the tape and figuring out what's going on. And the other one was just, that was a heck of a play by a football player that gets paid to make plays, as people say. And that was just one hell of a play. And Allen Robinson, I'm sure, is, you know, upset about that. But the other guys beat you sometimes. And that was just, that's a play. You don't see many interceptions like that in 4 or 5 years in the NFL. And that was pretty impressive. The Roquan Smith play, I'm coming into his defense because I guarantee you all week they talked about how well he can run. And how well he, you know, so there's sometimes he doesn't go down until it's late, but you just know not to do it. But I'm sure all week it was preach to them, guys, this guy can run. He's got wheels. Make sure you rally the ball. Try to get him to slide earlier. And Roquan got too aggressive on that one. The Eddie Jackson, man, what a tale of two emotions on that thing. I jumped off the couch. I was like, oh, that's ball game. It's over. We just won. Game Bears. And then he got there a little early as you go back and see that. And then the big one to me is Matt Nagy at the end of the game. I think there was a series before, too, where when he went for it on 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1 and he passed both times, if you know you're going to go for it 2 plays in a row within that 1 yard, why not run it twice? You're going to spend more time doing it. That could have shortened the clock as well. But at the end of the game, to put him in that situation to kick a 50-yard field goal, that's difficult. Hit the punt down there. That's one thing that Pat O'Donnell does really well, is setting him inside the 10 to 5-yard line, give them a long field, and then, you know, like you said, we have the best defense in the NFL. Make them do it. Make them prove it. You know, they ended up proving it at the end. They ended up winning the game. But, that to me was a questionable call, and I will be interesting to hear what he has to say in the postgame.
Hi, Patrick. A brand-new feature of the Prop Swap postgame show this year. Before we get to the phones, if you are not listening – to the Mully and Haw show every morning, Monday through Friday from 5 to 9 on 670 The Score. You are missing the best sports talk in town. Of course, our buddy Mike Mulligan, longtime Chicago Bears reporter and columnist for the Tribune before becoming the anchor of our morning drive here at The Score. I know that Mully probably has more than a couple thoughts on what we saw today, and Mike is going to join us pretty close to the final gun each week here on the Prop Swap postgame show, and he is with us now. You know, Mully, I had no hair left years ago, but I know you've got plenty. How much did you tear out watching that football game?
Well, you just got to get the defibrillator all warmed up and ready to go when you watch this team. That, guys, that was insane. That was just crazy. The end of that game was far too difficult given the way they started. It's almost like they did they run out of faith in Mitch at some point there after that first interception? I'm not sure. Seemed like the aggression was gone. I can't agree more about the end of the game when you attempt a 50-yard field goal. You know, you run a play where Mitch loses a yard before you attempt the – it was going to be a 49-yard field goal. Now it's a 50-yard field goal. Why, if you're going to – if you know you're going to kick that, why aren't you trying to gain some yards? Why aren't you trying to do some things to make sure that's an easier kick for Cairo Santos? Whatever. I also want to take a second to just mention that Anthony Miller missed a couple of golden opportunities on a couple of good throws by Mitch. His numbers will look awful, Mitchell Trubisky, because of the two interceptions. And I thought that was a really good play on the sideline. There's not a lot you can do when someone makes a play that good. But it's going to look even worse because a couple of big plays were missed by Anthony Miller.
You know, Mike, go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry.
Oh, Mully, it was such a tale of two halves. The first half, I wanted to open up a beer and just sit back and relax, enjoy the afternoon. It was going to be a nice, calm, you know, walkover win. I could talk to Hub during the post game. And then the second half happened. But, you know, I remember last week writing down poor throw by Mitch, poor throw by Mitch, poor throw by Mitch, okay throw by Mitch, poor throw by Mitch. Do you feel any better about Mitch after that game, even though let's take those two throws out of there because they could be all on Allen Robinson if they are. Take those out of there. Do you feel any better about Mitch going forward?
I suppose slightly just because the opening drive was so good and they're 4-for-4 on third downs and they only managed, 2-11 the entire game last week. So now you're 4-for-4 in one drive and you're thinking, wow, this is really something. Because all you want really is consistency. You don't want to go through what they've now gone through for 2 weeks running, which is, you know, it's much better to win and have things to correct than to not win. But I thought Mitch was really going to have that game, you know, that really good game that made you change your opinion of everything that is going on. And then when Robert Quinn gets that immediate impact strip sack and you're up 10, you know, you're feeling so good about this team and I'm with you. I thought, wow, maybe I'll start watching the White Sox in a little while, which thank God I didn't have to. But it just was such an uneven performance. And I'll put it on the play calling too. I thought that Matt Nagy had a little uneven performance for himself because it seemed like you got away from some things and you got to a point where after that interception, what did he go on? 5 touchdowns with no interceptions, throws 1 pick and now you're worried about him? I mean, listen, Pat, there were some of those plays. There was a really good catch earlier in the game by Mooney, not the touchdown, the one before that, where the ball was definitely, he was coming across and he had to reach back for that ball. You'd like that to be a little more accurate. There were still those issues. But I thought Mitch was better. I mean, a lot better and certainly a lot earlier better.
This Hour on the Score is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com. You know, Molly, I normally take a pass on a lot of the play calling stuff, and I'm not going to go hard on it because it really is an art, not a science. And those of us who think we know how to do it have never had to try it. And it's easy to have 20/20 hindsight. But a couple of things that I saw before they did it, the call on 4th and 1.5 with about a minute or two left, they go empty, and then they bring Montgomery back into the backfield, and then he's throwing the football. You've been ripping it off in chunks, man. I mean, load up your horses and find one of those 10-yard runs. And if you only get 2, you still get a first down. There are times when he runs, when maybe he should be throwing, which is okay if the run works. But there's so many times when they should be running and he throws. And to me, that was a classic example.
I totally agree with you. I think you got to be able to put the game away with your running game, right, when you get up. Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to – I mean, I was so disappointed that the defense allowed that 95-yard drive. I get it. These guys aren't playing a ton, and I know defense is behind offense right now because of conditioning concerns. But, man, I mean, they've got so many should-be impact players on that defensive front. I was a little disappointed that there wasn't that big play made to put the game away.
So, yeah, Mike, here's what you guys are going to, you and David are going to start hearing, you know, nonstop until 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. But we're 2-0, and they are, and that's a great thing. I'm not knocking that, believe me. But now, off what we saw in the first half last week and the second half this week, they're going to Atlanta next week. And if anybody hasn't been paying attention to what the Falcons are doing in Dallas, that's pretty scary for me off what I've seen the first 2 weeks of this Bears team.
I'll be very curious to see what the Vegas odds makers say about that game, because the Bears are 2-0. And, I mean, the best of all scenarios is winning and having reasons to improve. And I thought they did step up and improve some of the things that we were worried about. It's just – and maybe it's just needing more games, no preseason, no practice time. You know, Pat, you can speak more to the conditioning element of that. But I think it's really hurt them now for a couple of games. And, it, you know, once they got going last week, you know, people were arguing, well, you know, Detroit had all these issues and they were beaten up and all that. But I can't help but feel like they should have kind of pressed their advantage a little and made that game a little bit more of a downhill game this week.
Shocked me was Chuck Pagano not bringing any pressure. You know,
yeah.
He's just relying on those front four, and they're not getting there. You know, you didn't see a whole lot of it. You saw it from the Steelers last week against the Giants, and they had success with it. I thought you would see more just trying to confuse Daniel Jones and confuse that offensive line that really struggled last week. And he just said, nope, I'm going to line up in my front four, and I'm going to get there. And I think he did, what, 3 or 4 times. But I thought there was opportunity to make more impactful plays, and especially late in the game, take a chance with the good DBs you have. Go get them. Send an extra rusher and put the pressure on Daniel Jones to make a bad throw. That's what he's done his entire career so far in his young career. And I was kind of shocked to see that. But like you said, Hub, they won. They won.
Well, Mike, I don't want to screw up the sponsorship here, but I know Mondays are special with the score. Just curious, before we let you go, what do you and David got planned for tomorrow morning?
Oh, yeah, we've got a full show. We're going to have all our Bears experts on. We'll talk to Tom Thayer. We'll talk to Olin Krutz. We'll talk to Big Z. We'll pick the game apart up and down the line. We'll go over the injury reports. And, my God, guys, around the league, pretty scary stuff happening for a lot of different teams. And we thought David Montgomery had a serious injury there. Thank God he's okay. Obviously, the Giants suffered a couple of bad injuries for themselves. But, you know, we'll probably take a preliminary look at that game you're talking about next week. I'm sure that's going to be a big topic of conversation.
All righty. By the way, great point. I was afraid to even tweet about the Montgomery injury because it looked so awful. And to see him back in the second half the way he was, that was certainly great news. So, Mully, thank you for joining us. This is going to be fun. We will do this every week on the Prop Swap postgame show. That is Mike Mulligan, the host of Mully and Haw, every morning from 5 to 9 right here on The Score. Guys, we have to take a quick commercial break. When we get back, it's going to be Patrick and I and you. All your phone calls, 312-644-6767. Give us a call. You can text at that number as well. We are back right here in just a couple minutes at The Score.
Lewis left slot, right side, Ingram along with Golden Tate. Third receiver out to the numbers. Cushion given. Snap back, Daniel Jones. Pressure Mack. Pressure throws. Incomplete and a throw over the middle. And a late flag is thrown. Golden Tate was begging for it.
Offensive pass interference.
And it looks like it's on the Giants. At least the discussion is headed in that direction. There's no time on the clock.
The official
pass was broken up on third down and
pass
six.
Interference. Offense.
Offensive pass
Our
interference.
Our game is over.
Fade to black. Right down to the bone on this one. A pass incomplete, offensive interference, and the Bears survive here at home in their regular season opener at Soldier Field. The final, Bears 17, Giants 13.
All righty, you've got the Prop Swap postgame show here at 670 The Score. We are brought to you from our friends at Prop Swap, also presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears, and MailMedChicago.com. It is great to be with you all. Let me tell you again that our phone number is 312-644-6767. We're hoping to hear from you guys all afternoon. Patrick and I here for
the next couple hours, about an hour and 45. That'd be Patrick Manley and myself. Actually, I think we got some Cubs baseball tonight, so there'll be a hard off. Normally, we would have the post-game show with Big Anthony Heron and Olin Kreutz. They're going to get the evening off to see if the Cubs can win another one. But the Bears won another one. They are victors again in another heart stopper. Pat, I'm going to have to buy a defibrillator. I never really thought I would. But,
no doubt.
I'm sitting here thinking this isn't really happening. And they find a way to hang on. There were a couple key defensive plays. We're going to get to Tony in Arizona in just a second. But I do think it's important to note Khalil Mack, much more of an impact today. Still not the Khalil Mack show that we sometimes expect, but a much bigger impact. The Akeem Hicks sack, his second of the season. The thing that I was the most pleased about was he split that double team, taking one guy with his left arm and the other with his right arm. The elbow doesn't appear to be a problem. That was something that we wondered a little bit about as well. And Robert Quinn, exactly as I predicted, and I'm not patting myself on the back, I missed most of my predictions, but on this one, Robert Quinn, I'm anxious to see the play counts tomorrow because he was on the field maybe half the time, usually in the sub packages, but made an immediate impact. And that's probably only going to get better as we go forward. The Eddie Jackson pick six being overturned, that's on Eddie. But nonetheless, him and Kyle Fuller, just outstanding back there. Two of the best at their positions right now. So there's reasons to feel good about the defense, in spite of the fact it still wasn't the defensive performance we were looking for.
Yeah, what a way to start your Bears career for Robert Quinn. First play of the game for him on third down, going and get the strip sack with that jump leap over. It almost looked like the Aaron Donald move where you leap off the ball and you get your arm over and you get back there. That was huge. Akeem Hicks, that was awesome. That's who he is. He's like we've talked about it before on our pre- and post-game show. He's such a bully, and that's just a bully sack. He beat two guys right up the middle and got there and does what he does, and then if we go back and look at Khalil Mack's sack, it was kind of a gift. The left tackle, Andrew Thomas, they looked a little confused in who they had when the Bears brought up some pressure in the B gap, and he slid down and kind of gave Khalil Mack that one, but he still got there. But, I want Khalil Mack to be – I want him to be great. I think he's pretty good right now, but he's getting paid, $141 million to be great, and I want to see him – do what he did when he first got here. Win games for the Bears. You know, I'm talking about that closing series of plays for the Giants. Go down there and win the game. Be that guy. Make that game-winning play. You get paid to be that superstar. I want to see that. But it is good to see him finally get that sack. And I thought Kyle Fuller, his first half was awesome. Yeah. I mean, they kept trying to go at him, and he was great. And then Eddie Jackson is just Eddie Jackson. He's smooth back there. And the Bears are lucky to have him, but I just want to see more production out of this defense in total. You know, they've won two games, but they've beaten two teams that aren't the best. I thought the Lions got the better of them last week. I do think they got the better of the Giants this week, but I thought just going into this game, they could have been more dominant with some of the holes that the Giants had on their offensive line.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that we do have to at least be honest about is Saquon Barkley goes down early. You know, you're missing a really important weapon there. Sterling Shepard gets the turf toe. So, you're getting some breaks as well. That's what it takes sometimes to win in the NFL. The great thing about Khalil Mack, folks, is that Khalil agrees with Pat. We talked to him on Friday, and he said the exact same things that Pat just did. And I do think he took a step forward this week. I don't know about that knee. We will keep an eye on that as well. This segment is brought to you by Amazon. And we've now got me connected properly, but we just lost another one of my connections with my call screener. But I know that we have a call in Arizona, Mike. So if we can welcome our caller in. Tony is in Arizona. Tony dialed us up first. Tony, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Pat and how you guys doing today?
Good, Tony. Good.
That's great, man. I'm watching out here. First off, watched in a sports bar, and Cowboys fans can be more obnoxious, man. I'm like, my God, I just wanted to leave. But it was a good win for us. Very concerning. I was on the edge of my seat at the end of the game. Like, we can't lose to the Giants. I kept seeing Khalil Mack, a step slow. He was like, right there for a couple of sacks. I'm hoping his knee gets back to normal because you can see – I mean, he's just not himself from what we originally seen in Chicago. I'm seeing our guy, our rookie, Mooney. He's going to be a star. I said that to my family a week ago. This guy's been consistent. He's always in the right place. And bail Mitch out on that play. I was so happy that we got him and he caught that touchdown. And I know Robert Quinn got that, you know, strip sack, but after that, I didn't see him. You know, so, you know, I'm just hoping these guys step up. That's pretty much all I got. I want to hear what you guys got to say about that.
Well, Tony, thank you for the call. I will tell you about Robert Quinn is he actually did have a few other pressures, and he wasn't on the field all that time, all that much. I mean, Barkevious Mingo got a lot of reps. That's the way they're going to use Quinn as they work him in. He is coming off the ankle injury. So, you know, no, you weren't hearing his number called all day long. But I think some of that was just working him in a little more slowly. When he was on the field, Pat, he was making his presence felt.
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, what I try to do is compare him to our old guy Leonard Floyd on the other side in the years past. You know, he might not be the same in the run game like we talked about in the pregame, but I just feel he causes more problems on that edge than Leonard Floyd did. And I think that's the most important thing for Khalil Mack and Akiem Hicks on the other side. I think if he can change game plans for coordinators where they can't just send everybody to Mack and Akiem Hicks' side, then that's going to open up stuff going in the future. And I do wonder, you know, how much, you know, conditioning, you know, when you got an ankle, I mean, you can't get in shape. You're not going to be doing anything to really get you in shape. You know, you got those arm bikes or whatever you do, Hub. I think you've seen us do those in mm-hmm. training camp, but mm-hmm. that's not the same. You know, you need yeah. to get out there and run. You need to rush the passer twice, chase down a ball carrier 20 yards and put your hand on the ground and get ready to go again. So hopefully time will heal him up and he'll get in shape and make a lot of game-changing plays. But I'm telling you, that play he made today, that changed the game. That you know, that got you up 10 points. It's unfortunate the Bears only got 3 points out of that. You know, it should have been some more. I think it was a three and out than a field goal. You wish they would get 7 out of it. But, you know, I like what I saw in his first game back, you know, missing last week and being hampered for the last couple of weeks in training camp. I'm okay with it. So I'm excited what he brought today. And I guess my biggest issue with this defense is Pagano not bringing pressure. Maybe I'm such a big fan of Vic Fangio and like the pressures he brought up. And sometimes there were four-man pressure, but coming from one side and dropping the other side. And he was real creative with it. But I just feels like the guys are, all right, you four go get them. I might rush Roquan, and then that's all I got.
Yeah, you know, Patrick, I agree with you. And the one caveat I guess I'll put out there is, you know, last week you come in, no offseason, you don't know what you got. We saw how it worked. There was no pressure. Today you come back, you get Robert Quinn back for the first time. They did have 4 sacks, and they did have some other hurries. But I think your point, which I completely agree with, is but they weren't able to get them at the key points when they needed.
Yes. And I want more. If you're gonna be called the greatest defense, and Matt Nagy put it out there, the best defense in the NFL, I want more. And I'm guessing they expect more, and hopefully they get there. That's just it. I'm a greedy. Like I'm putting my coaching hat on. And I'm just being, you know, kind of hard and saying, hey, I want more. And I'm sure they want the same thing.
Well, and here's the other piece of it is, because the three guys you count on the most have made, you know, a couple big plays. Are they getting enough from Bilal Nichols and Roy Robertson Harris and Roquan and Danny Trevathan was off the field a lot today, which surprised
me.
And so I think they continue to work their way through this. But I thought after talking to Danny on Friday, he was going to have the game of his life today. And they handled the run fairly well. You know, I mean, Barkley had the one big run. And that is Trevathan's first responsibility, but it'll be interesting to find out tomorrow why he spent as much time on the sidelines as he did. Let's get to Eric, who is out in Peoria. Eric, thank you for dialing us up. What do you have on your mind today?
How you doing, Hub?
Good, thank you.
How you doing, Hub?
Good. How you doing, Eric?
Not bad. But all I got to say is they're going to have to play on defense a heck of a lot better than they had the first two games. They ain't gonna have any cream puff quarterbacks coming down the road. I mean, you got next week you got Ryan, and in December a couple of times you got Rodgers. Mm-hmm. They need to get that defense tightened up, or they're gonna get whooped. Not to mention they're gonna got Brady coming up.
Well, Eric, listen, I get what you're saying, although I would counter that I don't know that Matt Ryan is any better than Matt Stafford. They actually handled Stafford fairly well last week. He had a couple quarters that were scary. You look at the numbers that Ryan has put up the first 2 weeks. And particularly them going into Dallas. I don't know if the Falcons hung on. They were up 9 with about 2:40 left. We'll check that in the break. But it is going to be a huge test for them. On the other hand, the Atlanta defense has been Swiss cheese the first 2 weeks of the season, so we'll see what that does. It's going to set up as a pretty enticing matchup next week. But, Patrick, it's kind of what we got right now. I don't know how much to make of the fact that they're learning on the job, so to speak, that they're settling into new things. Let's go back to the offense for a minute. The star of the second half last week, who basically won the game for him, Anthony Miller, may have kept this from being a rout this week, because if he doesn't drop that touchdown pass in the first half, now it's 17-0 in the first half, and you're rolling, and you go to the half at 24-0 maybe, and then that key third down, in the third quarter. I mean, I know he was shuffling his feet a little bit the sidelines, but the ball hit him in the hands, and all the GameCast is going to say is that Mitch missed a third down pass, and that's really not what happened.
No, it isn't. And, we talked last year about wanting more consistency from Anthony Miller. Hopefully he's in the right spot doing all that stuff. And we were hearing, how much he's becoming more of a pro. And like I said, you want more consistency out of him. That's how you become great. And he had those flashes, obviously, last week and last year. But those are two catches. If you want to be great, you make them. And you kind of make them look easy. Because Mitch, you got to give it to him. Those were two really good throws. They're somewhat contested, but that's the way the NFL is now. And I guess it's always been that way, but that's just the way the NFL is. And, he's got to make those plays. And we harped last year. Let's just hope he becomes more consistent. If he does, that's better for the offense. And it's, I want to go back to the Mooney kid real quick. That's just good to see a rookie come in and flash like this. That to me is, it says he's trusted by the coaches to be on the field. He's in the right play to make the play. And he made the play. So that's great to see. And then the other rookie is Jalen Johnson. He's still, same thing. He's hot and cold a little bit right now, but he's made some really good plays. The one where he got his hand in there and punched out the ball again. And as long as those rookies can keep getting better, because that's normally all rookies normally do, the good ones, they'll get better. That'll help the Bears out. But looking at the Bears' schedule, just to kind of talk about the caller, what they're looking at forward, if they go down and beat the Falcons, you start 3-0, and then you look at the Colts, they've been up and down the first 2 weeks, and then you start getting into a little bit of a meatier schedule. So, once you get started and you get started 3 or 4-0, that just, you feel a lot better about yourself. The confidence gets going, and they can stay, I'm going to knock on wood for them, injury-free-ish, and these other teams keep taking these unfortunate injuries, then that bodes well for the Bears as well.
Yeah, we're going to have to take a quick break here, but one other point, as far as getting these wins when you don't play particularly well, last week they were lucky. There's no other way to spin it. I mean, DeAndre Swift drops the winning touchdown with 10 seconds left. They wouldn't have had time to come back and win this game. This week, they at least made the plays when they had to. I mean, this wasn't luck. It wasn't like the Giants missed anything. As a matter of fact, they had some, really bad luck with having the pick six overturned on Eddie Jackson, even though I do think it was the right call, having the roughing on Roquan Smith that probably it's a call they're going to make. I'm not going to say it's the right call or not, but it's a call they're going to make. That sets up the Giants' last touchdown, and in spite of that, they made enough plays to win the game. So the good news is it wasn't luck this time, but it's got to get better. They got to get more consistent, and this game is a classic. I want to go back and see the tape. Without watching the tape, I would say that Mitch Trubisky played pretty well today. I can't find a lot of things I'm really going to fault him for, but I don't know yet what he didn't see. I know what he did see, and I know the decisions he made. If they were the right decisions, then the throws or the plays weren't on him. But now we got to go back and look at the tape and make sure they were the right decisions. And until we know that, we won't know if we're thinking the same thing as the coaches. So 3-1-2. Yeah. I'm sorry, Pat. I just could get us
no,
a break.
No, go ahead. We'll take the break. Sorry. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, if I don't pay the bills, then we're both fired. So, we got to do that. 312-644-6767 is both our phone number and our text line here on the Prop Swap post-game show. You've got the score. We're back in just a moment.
The play clock, hard count. They rush 3, drop 8. Mitch in the pocket now, darting around, thinking about what to do. Resettles, now flips it into the end zone. Left side, up in the air, making the catch. Touchdown, Bears, Darnell Mooney.
We're back with more of the Chicago Bears postgame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Hub Arkish and Patrick Manley on Sports Radio 670 The Score, presented by PNC Bank, the official bank of the Chicago Bears, and MayoMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Welcome back, everybody, to our Prop Swap postgame show here at 670 The Score. We are also presented by PNC Bank and MailMed Chicago. Pat, I got to meet Luke from Prop Swap on Friday. It's really kind of fascinating stuff. I am not an educated player, if you will, but everybody's heard about betting props. It's the best way to get the best odds by buying or trading bets with other players. And so go to PropSwap.com. We're excited to have them with us this year. I wanted to give you, just before we get back to the phones, we get to Reimer down in Savannah, Georgia, but I kind of threw one at you and then we had to break before we left. This idea of going back to the tape, you know, until you get that coach's tape and you can see the field and you know exactly how the defense was set up, And what was there for Mitch and what wasn't there for Mitch, it's not fair, and it's too hard to be able to say one way or the other, you know, whether he was doing the right things or not.
Yeah, but one thing I did notice a little bit going into the game that, you know, you kind of knew that Joe Judge was going to maybe mix it up a little bit. He runs a lot of man back there, but I thought he was going to throw some more zone at him. And during halftime, I texted some of our buddies in the up there in the stadium to see if they saw them playing maybe a little more zone. And they said it wasn't a whole lot more, but they did notice more zone. And to me, watching Mitch, you know, with that amoeba defense, they kept calling it, that he processed information better. So that's one thing I look at and evaluate him. You know, we've all said he need to learn how to process information better. He looked better doing it. I thought he understood when they were rushing the three guys at him that he could take his time and let the guys get open. I'm drawing a blank on which play it was, but I think it was the first amoeba defense where I thought he was going to pull it down and try to run for it, and there was just no way he was going to get it. But he bought time, got a completion, got a first down, and I thought just seeing him do that, he looked a little more quote-unquote grown up. Like he just feel like he understood the game plan, understood what they were trying to do against him, and he did it. He processed it better and made some good decisions. There were a couple other throws against zones that looked like, that's the one thing I think it's hard, Hub, is the camera angle always at Soldier Field just looks a little different than every place out. Is that true because the sight lines, the stadium's down a little bit? At least that's the way it is for the All-22, but even for the TV copy,
camera,
it looks up.
Yeah, the All-22 camera.
Yeah, that's awful for that.
That
yeah.
I can say for sure.
Yeah, but the TV also just looks a little bit lower. I don't feel like you get the vision or the you can't see the entire secondary. So just that's going off what I saw from the TV copy, but that's encouraging to me. So hopefully he can build off that, and that's a step that maybe they, you know, like they said, they've been seeing during the offseason during this little training camp.
Yeah, and the other thing that was the epitome of what we were told they worked on through the offseason was the first touchdown. He kept the play alive with his feet, but he did it in the pocket, moving around. His eyes were downfield the whole time. And then he finds Montgomery for the third down, or first down conversion. Mm-hmm. He didn't know it was going to be a touchdown, and then throws a perfect pass. Just looped it over the defense, and that was everything that they've been talking about trying to get him to do. So let's get down to Savannah, Georgia, and welcome Reimer into the program. Reimer, thanks for calling. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So for me, it's more of a big picture question. Thrilled that we're 2-0. But seeing Tariq being signed to a 3-year deal before AR, to me, is just a little bit confusing and baffling. I love Tariq. I think, I mean, from what I can tell, seems like a great young man, exciting player. I think the price is probably right, although it feels a little heavy at $9 million guaranteed. But the optics for me to do that deal before you do AR, I want pace. You know, I've had big expectations for him and then had, you know, huge hopes, but I'm starting to see maybe the end coming if this doesn't work out. So I obviously don't have the answers because I'm sitting down here in Savannah, Georgia. Just wanted to get your point of view on what you're seeing, what you're thinking about that, and how it's going to play out.
Reimer, thank you so much for the call. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Please stay with us. Stay with us for the next hour and a half, but at least for the next 5-10 minutes. We've got to take a quick commercial break. When we get back, before we take another call, I'm going to have Patrick give you his thoughts. I'll give you my thoughts. I will tell you that they want to get them both done, you know, and that's the key. whether or not the timing matters. We'll talk about that in just a minute, as well as anything else on anybody else's mind. The phone number, 312-644-6767. We're getting your texts at that number as well. This is the Prop Swap post-game show. Patrick Manley, Hub Arkish, we are back with you in just a minute.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.